Welcome back to Speak Up Las Cruces on Las Cruces Community Radio with Walt Rubel and myself, Peter Goodman, co-hosting. And this hour, we're going to talk about the election and about the county audit with people who have either are involved in the election or have strong opinions. Juan Garcia, frequent guest on the show and local conservative. Daisy Maldonado, who was a co-host with us for quite a while and then resigned to run for county commission, which it looks like is turning out pretty well. And yes. Amanda Lopez Askin, who can not only tell us, as Daisy can, how it feels to be a candidate. Daisy's first time, I think, but Amanda's, what, third?
Third.
Amanda has been our county clerk since 2018 when she was appointed, and then she's won twice. And it looks like she's now won another election for a state office.
Wow.
So,
congratulations, first of all.
Thank you. This is a great morning, for sure.
Anything about the running of the election or the situation at this point? First of all, are things pretty much final? I know they're still counting some absentee ballots.
Sure. I can tell you after speaking to my chief deputy this morning, Caroline Zamora. So in Doña Ana County, we are, I believe, one of only three counties in the entire state that requires that if you are on the ballot, you are not in, you're not involved in the election and its immediate right. administration. Of course, along the way, you are. So this is from kind of an outsider's view because I make a point of setting right. that boundary, not asking, not being involved. Having said that, it seems like since there was quite a few write-in candidates for Republican offices that they will do those hand tallies today. But it seems as if, based on what I've seen, that at this point, the numbers are going to be pretty constant. If there's a few maybe provisionals, I'm not aware, et cetera. But the bulk of any kind of will be the Republican hand tallies.
Okay.
So the short answer is yes, Peter.
Let me turn to Juan. What did you think of the election?
I thought the elections were fine, but first of all, congratulations to both of the candidates.
Thank you, Mr. Garcia. Appreciate it.
It's the only thing that I always get concerned about is the lack of more voters coming.
Yes.
Mm. I call it voter apathy. Okay.
Was the turnout around 15%?
You know, that was the last number that I did see. Yeah.
I mean, there should have been more numbers. I did a quick scan this morning of some of the numbers with some of the candidates. And, well, they're not exactly what I would consider good. And
I think it's you guys' fault, Daisy and Amanda. You should have been more exciting.
Very true, right?
Well, the one thing I agree with Juan on is we just have too many uncontested races, and we don't have enough people in the process for, you know, a number of different reasons. With the legislature, I hope that will change with the constitutional amendment coming up where, you know, there will be an opportunity to feed your family if you take that job. But that to me is the most disappointing thing, and it has nothing to do with the administration. It's just, for whatever reason, there isn't the incentive for people to run.
And I think that makes a good point as far as funding. Other states have robust budgets for voter education, voter engagement, campaign education. We do not have any of that. We count on the League of Women Voters in their guide, and that's it. And, you know, people have unprecedented access to information, right, with the invent of the, you know, the Internet. However, it's a lot on candidates to also bring that excitement and pull people in.
Yeah, and if I could just make a quick comment, too. I'll just say, and this, you know, actually goes back to my work with Empowerment Congress as well. But speaking to voters, right, there's a lot of discontent with how the system has been functioning and the candidates that are available for vote. And so I think that that's also just one of the symptoms that we see is, you know, and people say, why go and vote when my vote doesn't really matter? It's the same folks and it's the same system. So I think also we need to see more change in order to see that change as well.
Unfortunately, part of the reason those folks say that the vote doesn't matter is because there's not enough votes. I hear this almost on a daily basis, how things are bad and how things need to change and so forth. Not only at the state level, but particularly in the city, in the county, But yet when you look at the numbers...
Not the nation, of course.
The nation's doing okay. But my biggest focus is on the local. But at the same time, people have the opportunity to vote. And unless you live in a rock, under a rock somewhere, you know elections are coming up. All you have to do is just, read some of the news. But the thing is, people, for whatever reason, and I think I agree with you, Daisy, a lot of people have said, it doesn't really matter. I'm stuck with what I have. And that's not true.
Yeah. They're not stuck.
I know that when I was very young, I didn't care about local state elections particularly. I mean, I cared about what was going on nationally because, there was a certain war that we didn't much like, and there were civil rights issues to be fought out and other, but
that's still the case. Those two things that you were voting about, here we are.
No kidding. Mm-hmm. But, I certainly didn't recognize until I became a journalist here and was covering mayoral race. I didn't even know who the councilors were, until I was a journalist and met them.
What I find is very interesting, and I will say this particularly to my race, is I was born and raised in this community. I talk about that often and how I was raised. And I think it is absolutely fascinating that somebody like me who grew up, some challenging circumstances in southern New Mexico and our borderlands is seen as an insider. Or somebody where I'm part of the structure. How that happens and how I'm able to be an outsider in an outsider, insider and outsider, is fascinating to me. I put 50,000 miles on my vehicle the last 14 months, and that's how I engaged voters, as I talked to as many people as I could.
And Daisy certainly is, both a lifelong resident and an outsider. I mean, you seemed like... an outsider in a different way, Amanda. I mean, when they appointed you to be the county clerk.
Yes.
And you were not my first choice. I didn't
know
you.
I remember that,
I met you that day. But, you were a competent person doing a job at New Mexico State. And, not in the limelight and not political. Mm-hmm. Just a person doing a job, and then you attacked this job and did it pretty well. I know some people have criticized
you. I have my
you.
Detractors, yes.
I think highly of you. And now you've won the Democratic primary, and you'll be facing, I think it's Ramona Goolsbee
in the general election.
Yes. Uh-huh. But just prevailing as a Democratic nominee, first one since Jerry Apodaca, in 74, from down here.
Mm-hmm. It's the year I was born.
And how did you do it?
Well, I built the relationships the last 8 years. I had the conversations. I've traveled every legislative session to advocate for voting rights. I've been embedded in those discussions. And somehow when you build relationships with people who are in power, there's this impression somehow that you're an insider. And that's fine if people want to think that. But at the end of the day, I come back to Southern New Mexico and I'm fighting for Southern New Mexico, which is what I've done. I just took that to a statewide level. By any measure, I was the most experienced and qualified candidate to be Secretary of State. And I told people, don't vote for me because I'm from the South. Because it has been 51 years since a Democrat has run for statewide office from Las Cruces and Juan. It has been. The corridor of leadership is beyond Bernalillo County and Santa Fe County. And I think this punctuated that. But I worked very, very hard to the sacrifice of a lot of people in my life, including this child that's sitting right next to me and my entire family. And that's how I won.
Daisy, how did you win? I mean, you're the ultimate. You're the ultimate outsider,
right?
In a lot of ways,
right? You certainly cannot compete with traveling around the state or 50,000 miles in my car. Wow, that's impressive. Much smaller jurisdiction that I had to cover, but definitely grassroots, knocking on doors, talking to everyday people, and I want to say being the voice of, again, everyday folks that are looking for something different.
How big a factor was Jupiter?
Project Jupiter, I can't say for sure 100% that it was something that made the final decision for some folks, but it definitely was an issue that was of big concern.
We can come back to that in a moment. Oh, sure. We have a caller.
Hello? Hello?
Yes. We're having a little trouble hearing callers.
But hello, can you hear me?
Good morning. Yes, just barely.
Okay. Sorry about that. Hi, this is Lucas Herndon. I just wanted to call in, and I've been enjoying listening so far this morning. And I wanted to just comment. I appreciate the question about Project Jupiter and some of the dialogue about being an insider or an outsider, all very cogent points. And one of the observations that I have is not just in the county commission race that Daisy won, but also a couple of our local state representative races, 33 and 37 in particular, the involvement of outside money, the backers of the candidates, as they were revealed to be these large industry people who supported oil and gas, people who supported Project Jupiter. I think that also had a lot to do with who voters ultimately backed. And I think that's a referendum on, you know, the candidates who, whether they're from here or not, who continue to act in the best interest of community, who've been involved with the community for a number of years. And I think voters do know that. And I think that that's just relevant and worth talking about.
Yes. Well, thank you, Lucas.
Amanda, I was going to ask you, and I know that you weren't involved firsthand in this election,
sure.
But you know the people who are, and you know how it all. And my question is that, you know, given that all the talk that we continue to hear about election integrity, mm-hmm. was there anything that you're aware of at all in this election in all of the counties everywhere in the whole state that might be thrown back, that might feed that fire, I guess.
There'll always be something.
Yeah,
and you
sure
can present
right.
some folks with absolutes and it still doesn't matter.
Okay.
But there's also things that we need to improve. You cannot look at criticisms and say, I don't agree with them, so they're wrong. You have to be able to look at feedback and go, okay, well, maybe they have a point. And we have adjusted some of the things we've done in the last 8 years based on that. I never assumed that we're right. I always look at what's embedded in law. And a lot of things prior to me being there were done because they've always been done that way. And I've had to ask where the root of it was. And when they'd say, oh, it's in the law, when I'd say, where is it? And they couldn't find it. That gives us a starting point. So we can't be close to criticism. It's painful sometimes, but it also is valuable for the system. And if we want the system to be better for our community, then we have to open our ears, whether it burns our ego or not.
I want to divert Walt's question to the other end of the table. How are you feeling, Juan, about election integrity and locally?
Personally, I've never had an issue.
Okay.
I don't. Or there's some screw-ups in the past that, you know, the ballots weren't found here or they were there, whatever the case is. It is annoying. It's always good to be able to close the evening at midnight and say, okay, Daisy won, Daisy lost, whatever the case may be. It's always the case. But I've never been a big subscriber. Actually, I've never been a subscriber to the fact that we have, you know, the Ms. Haskins sits at the basement of the county commission building and flips votes. I don't subscribe to that kind of stuff. As a matter of fact, when I go vote, it's always easy.
Mm-hmm.
I even took my son the other day for the first time.
Oh, congratulations. Did we ring a bell for him?
There was a bell rung.
Very nice. That's something we instituted because it's a celebration.
Yeah, it took 5 minutes, you know. But. Mm.
Misplaced my phone. I was going to show you. I still have I voted stickers on the back of it. I don't know how many elections. One finally fell off. I did once sit in a group that was training Republicans to be observers mm-hmm. at the ballot. And the trainer said, is there anybody who thinks the voting is honest in Las Cruces?
Mm-hmm.
And my friend Grant and I were the only two that raised our hands.
Yeah. Which is unfortunate. Everybody else because at the end of the day,
understood that you were completely corrupt.
Yeah, well, you know, the fix is in, you know. No, I would say, like, at the end of the day, the idea that I would come into office as somebody who has spent my life in public service, has chooses to raise my child here, you know, that I somehow with some political bend would commit fourth degree felonies for the sake of some kind of status. It's just really unfortunate, and it's not helpful. And I got to give Mr. Garcia credit. He has always been respectful, always been respectful of me, never has bad-mouthed, had opinions maybe that we differed, and that's fine. And that's the way our discourse should be, because at the end of the day, we're all in this together. It's just not helpful. And I try to ask myself these two questions when I make decisions, whether it's in my personal or professional life. Is it helpful? And another one is it loving? And so if it's not helpful, I'm going to try to step away from it, right? And so I think I'm appreciative of those who are willing to listen to me and, you know, have faith in our system, which is not perfect, but it's robust and it is secure.
I was just going to note for the record, I guess, that when I moved here in 2002, the county clerk at that time was facing criminal charges because there were ballots found in the men's room stuffed in a stovepipe.
I've heard these stories, yes.
So you took over a troubled agency. That's the past is the past. Mm-hmm. But some of the skepticism that was there in the past was deserved, I guess, is all I'm going to say.
Yes.
You talked a little bit about it before, but you are now going for the next 4 months, 5 months. Mm-hmm. Going to be away from home an awful lot. I mean, can you talk about what that's going to look like running for statewide office, the finances that are involved in something like that? I mean, it's a huge undertaking.
Yeah, there is a whole other show related to that and the finances. Yeah. What I will say is that, you know, I'm going to take a little bit of time. I'm going to spend some time with my daughter. She's on break until July. But at the end of the day, because it has been so long since somebody from Las Cruces, I'm very proud of that. I'm proud of my community, whether they voted for me or not, whether, you know, in the general, they're going to vote for me or not. The idea that I'm on the ballot is pretty exceptional, and I'm thrilled about that. There hasn't been a Republican Secretary of State elected since 1929 besides Diana Duran. And so I put all my time and energy into this primary because realistically I knew the numbers told me that this was really my election. And I will work hard as I've worked, but I feel a different sense of pressure.
You mentioned Diana Duran, and I just talked about the cloud that was hanging over. I mean, the last Republican to hold the office didn't leave in glory.
I want to switch topics a little bit for a while. I mean, we mentioned corruption, but I think in different ways, another dramatic event here, if anybody out there doesn't know it, is there was a state audit delivered to the county and the sheriff's office, particularly negative about the county commission. Walt says they were negative about the sheriff, too. At any rate,
they can read it for themselves.
And people should read it. I mean, it's long,
yes, it did,
but people should find their way through it. You, Amanda, as an elected county official, mm-hmm. as the sheriff and the assessor and others are, who, you know, wouldn't be elected in a city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'd be appointed, but you're independent elected officials, so you have a view. Daisy, as an observer and critic of the commission, and Juan, I know you have some strong views.
Mm-hmm.
Let me start with Juan. What would you like to tell people about that audit, what it means?
I'm glad the audit took place, obviously. But it is very unfortunate, very sad, very disappointing, and I could go and use a few other words, on the outcome. And part of the problem, I believe, and I read most of the 355 pages, not every one of them, of mm-hmm. course, but I really focused a lot on the executive summary by Mr. Maestas. And I look at it and I said to myself, how can this happen? How did the commission allow this to happen? And where is the accountability? If I was still in program management and if I would have had one-tenth of the findings they had, I would have had a pink slip and walked out the door. But what's going to happen here, in my opinion, is the audits are going to be, quote, fixed. Everything's going to be okay. The only saving grace that I saw is where the auditor indicated that some of the findings could be referred to outside agencies.
Well, he's going to refer the Inspection of Public Records violations to the AG.
But who is accountable?
Actually, let me give you a partial answer to that.
Sure.
Because I was very impressed with one of the commissioners. Only one showed up at Progressive Voters Alliance last Thursday evening, and it was Susanna Shapiro, and she said, You know, when she got her 2 minutes to speak, she said, don't you hear it from me? I want to tell you there's been this audit. It's terrible. And she kind of took ownership of it, even though a lot of the problems preceded any of the current commissioners.
Right.
Now, how much they should have learned as commissioners, I'm not expert enough to say, but this stuff is part of the employee part of it is stuff the juries said 10, 15 years ago. The other commissioners, as far as I know, have not taken ownership in
that
way.
Well, it's just commissioners. Hmm? We had a county manager, okay? Mm-hmm. That's in there. Mm-hmm. What I would like to see as a citizen is somebody can be held accountable and says, you know what, you're fired, you're going to be disciplined, you're going to be – something is going to happen because those findings were not trivial.
No, they were not. I think the county manager is history, by the way, but probably as of the first of –
And I'm not blaming Mr. Andrews.
He came late on the scene.
I understand that. But and some of the commissioners have been there.
Way before him.
Yeah. Daisy, your views.
Well, Juan stated, like, I'm definitely happy that this took place. And, based just on my experience working, again, from the outside, trying to work with county government and all the trouble that has entailed over the course of several years. And I thought that things were improving. In any case, after seeing the audit, it was definitely clear, right? Again, the message that, just like voting, the message out in the communities, the smaller communities in particular, is it doesn't matter because the county government doesn't function well. It doesn't serve us. They don't listen to us, and they basically do whatever they want. And so to a certain extent, I think the audit reflects that, is that there's policies and regulations that have that are on the books, but then they're not followed. Mm-hmm. Right. And there's trouble in several departments. And in particular, I'll say what really stood out to me was around the finance department, mm-hmm. and so much that wasn't being reported properly. And how long has that been happening? And then just such large contracts, right, weren't being reported properly in that way also. And so if that department isn't being regulated the way it should be and isn't reporting the way it should be, then clearly there's a much, much larger problem that isn't being addressed. And so I speak as a candidate here, but as saying I'm hoping as a commissioner I'll be able to get in there and make not necessarily me making those changes, but what needs to happen so that that type of oversight isn't or is implemented.
And we should note that Daisy will face Samantha Barncastle Salopek,
yes,
in the general election. So she has not been elected commissioner.
Right, not yet.
We have a caller.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, I'm just calling back. Daisy Malden, auto a question?
Yes, hold on just a second. It's a question for Daisy Maldonado, so Daisy Maldonado needs to put earphones on Daisy Maldonado's ears. Headphones. Okay. All right, ask your question.
Oh, congratulations, Daisy, on your primary victory last night. My name is Arturo Oliva. I was just calling to see if we can count on you for participation in a candidate forum for your district in the general.
Absolutely. Good morning, Arturo, and thank you for that. Congratulations, and thank you for the invitation.
Arturo, are you going to be wearing your referee shirt?
On this one, yes.
Okay. Well, then we know it's a debate.
All right. Well, thank you very much, and congratulations. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Good to talk to you, and thanks for the things that you do. We should mention, correct Juan or Amanda, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the audit had no findings against the assessor's office. It did against the general county management and the assessor and the sheriff, but not the county clerk's office. Is that right?
So to be clear and transparent, I'll try always, our office was embedded in another finding. Basically, we're the recorders and historians of our community. We record what is given to us. There's many departments in the county. So if we're not given something to record, it's incomplete. There's we don't chase that down. So it's something that we figured out, and we've found a better process that works for the other departments. So they have that awareness that they really need to get those to us, and we have we're working on getting that done. So
you have a great view of
a
key problem that generated this and was discussed by the auditor, and Walt and I were kind of arguing about it earlier. I mean, the state law puts everybody in this weird situation where the responsibilities of the county manager versus elected officials like yourself or the sheriff is not as clear as we might wish.
Well, I think that goes for any elected boards. I served on the Board of Regents at New Mexico State University, and prior to starting, I remember thinking I was going to create this systemic change that was going to just absolutely light the world on fire. And then I discovered I was one of five votes, and my purview was over basically fiduciary and the chancellor. And I think that is reflected as well in a micro version for the county commission, is they have those oversights. They are not to be involved in the weeds of the day-to-day in the departments. That is against what they should be doing. And I think there is a learning curve when all of them start, like, wait a minute, this employee came to me with this. You can't be involved on that finite level. So I think there needs to be an awareness. And if I sound defensive, it's because I've worked every day with really hardworking individuals in different departments who put their, again, it's the equivalent in some levels for running for office. You really do sacrifice a lot. And so I think you can't deal with what you don't know. I think you put it all on the table and you sort it out. And I think that's what needs to happen and has, happened on some level in different areas, maybe not in the scale that it should, but moving forward, the hope that will happen. I don't think it's helpful to vilify individuals and that's just not helpful. So from that lens, I hope that everybody can move forward. That audit was definitely, I think, sobering for quite a few, and seeing it all in one document, it can be helpful to have also a plan in moving forward.
One couple of words that really stuck to me, and this should be something that the candidates
might take a break just remind people that you're listening to Speak Up Las Cruces on KTAL LP 101.5 FM, Las Cruces, New Mexico. And our guests on Speak Up Las Cruces this hour are Juan Garcia, whose voice you were just hearing, Daisy Maldonado, and Amanda Lopez-Askin. So, yes, Juan.
So a couple of words that really stuck out to me, and this should be applicable and should be considered by all the candidates, regardless of party. And I quote, it says, public trust will continue to erode and workforce instability will worsen. But the big one is when we started talking about why people don't vote, why people don't care, et cetera, those words are key. Public trust will continue to erode. And quite frankly, it's across the state, it's across the county, it's across the nation, okay? And it's sad, because once candidates get into office, a lot of them are good. And I got to give kudos to Reynolds. A lot of people don't like Shannon, but I'll tell you one thing. He always talked to me.
Yeah.
We didn't agree on things, but he was always willing to sit down and talk to me.
I love Shannon. I don't think he could have legally served as assessor, but
that's a different subject. That's a different subject. But this is the
he thinks he could.
This is the kind of comments that candidates need to keep in mind, because people just don't trust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it just, again, speak in terms of like in the commission seat, right? Again, I'm a candidate. and I understand I'm going to say a nuance, but like what is the role of a county commission or what's the role of a county commissioner? And it really is about creating policies, right, that then the staff at the county level can take and then move forward. And so the fact that so many issues were found at the county, again, the finance department, the management level, again, there was oversight that's missed. And then we have to look, I want to be able to look at policies, like where are the gaps in the policies that this isn't meeting, right? Where that oversight isn't happening. and how can we do that better? And then, of course, work with, again, those county departments, but also as a commissioner, be able to talk to people, right? And as Juan is mentioning about the deterioration of public trust, well, part of that has to do with how the commission represents themselves to the community and how the county actually serves the community. And so I think that those two things, again, the work that I've done has, I will say, you know, there's been limitations and there's been shortcomings. And I think the county has a long way to address it, but they need to, even if, again, some of these issues like, well, that happened 15 years ago. Okay, well, you've taken on the responsibility now. And how is that going to be addressed?
Amanda, I'm curious, as you were, you know, traveling in other parts of the state, mm-hmm. campaigning,
yep.
were you hearing different things from voters than what you hear typically when you campaign down here in the southern part of the state?
No.
It's all the same?
No. I will say, of course, there's these, you've been to one county in New Mexico, you've been to one county in New Mexico because we're all so diversely, right. You know, geographically, all the ways. I think the concerns and the, I don't know if I call it discontent, but just this malaise almost. And that's been probably since, I'd say, the last 8 years, has just been this heaviness about politics and all of the nastiness that tends to come with it has worn people out. You know, young people are registering as DTS or AKA independents at unprecedented rates because they don't like that. And I understand,
yeah.
You know, I happen to be under the label of Democratic Party. That's where my worldview sticks. And it's a big tent as far as I'm concerned. So that's where I will stay. But I also am sympathetic to their concerns and their disillusionment. You know, at the end of the day, I get it. And that is embedded across New Mexico. But there is also a lot of hope. And there's also a lot of fight in us. And I believe in that New Mexico, too.
Yeah, what you said reminds me of my bridge partner, who's probably not listening, who does not like politics at all, and he happened to hear about the audit and ask me about it. I sent him my column on it and got back an email saying that he read it, and it fully confirmed everything he thought about government.
Well, if you, I'll just throw this out there. I mean, if you do get elected, obviously Otero County has in the past been a challenge when it comes to their handling of elections. How do you reach out to those folks, and or can you reach out to the? Is it even appropriate to reach out ahead of time and try to make sure that the issues don't come up again, or is that just the purview of the county commission? I don't know.
Well, in Otero County, what I will say about their elections is I knew the Republican county clerk there and her chief deputy well, and I respected and admired them. And the problem is the narrative. It's not the actions. Right. So that really speaks to voter education and giving people facts about elections. And so, unfortunately, the headline was Otero County Commission not going to, you know, certify the election, when the reality is that the county clerk there did a stellar job, and the narrative just worked for the particular politics at the time that was leading the airways and headlines, which damaged voter trust, right? You cannot say there's something inherently wrong and then say, but vote.
You're right.
Right.
We have another caller. Good morning.
Good morning. It's not another caller. My name is Arturo. I just called earlier if I'd known that.
So, Arturo again.
Dr. Loskin. Yes, I didn't know the clerk, Amanda Lopez Askin, was on the, was there also. Congratulations.
So, give us a second to transfer Amanda. Extra head.
Okay, I got
headphones.
It. Hi, Arturo, how are you?
Pretty good.
Good, good.
Hey, I was curious to know if now with independents being able to participate in this primary, will we be able to see before the general, or when will we be able to know what impact or what turnout independents had on this primary?
You know, I think we were about 300,000 overall statewide. I think they were looking at probably expecting about 10%, and I know at this point that has exceeded that. So I think independents rose to the occasion, not quite where we ever want them to be, right, which is all up there, but they may have made a difference more than we think they have. I think it's very interesting that the majority, there's like over 75% chose Democratic ballots. So they're motivated by something, and I think we need to look at that as well.
I don't think that means they agree with Democrats necessarily.
Well, you're right. You may make a case they could want that ballot to make one case or the other. But I will also say is we just need to continue having those conversations. County clerks and secretaries of state should act in a nonpartisan way, even if they're under the umbrella of the Democratic Party or wherever they are. And so for me, reaching out to all voters and regardless of your perspective and party is important.
Good question. Will we be able to?
Good question, Arturo.
When we look at the precincts, will there be a way to see what Democrats or what independents voted in that primary?
Yes. The data is coming. We still have to, the work begins for many of the county clerks or all the county clerks across the state this morning in terms of canvassing and dotting all the I's, crossing the T's, making sure we account for everything and that everything matches and is absolutely transparent and is accurate. So that's the priority now. And then the data crunching will happen probably by smarter people than me. So, yes. Stay tuned.
Thank you, Arturo.
Just one more question.
Yes, I will come and debate.
Okay, thank you. And then, but the other one was, were there any issues at any of our polling sites?
I don't know if you listened to the first part. I wasn't involved directly in this election because I was on the ballot. There'll always be things. I suspect that there were things that always happen. Printers out. People are irritated because of waits. Electioneering. Those things will always happen. Elections are a human process. So if anybody expects perfection, they're going to be very disappointed. What I will say is I think we ran a great election. I'm exceptionally proud of the team that I get the honor to lead. And thank you to the community who we literally could not run elections without. And Arturo, I suspect some of those, complaints and things will probably come up in the next few days because that's just usually how it works. And again, I'll always say this. If you think something was amiss, if there is something nefarious that happened at any of the locations, you should report it to the Secretary of State. If you don't want to do that, report it to the Attorney General, law enforcement, or the District Attorney. You should have your complaints heard and investigated, and we should do everything we can to make sure that those are addressed.
Right on. Well, great job to you and your staff, and we'll be circling back for the general.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And if anybody else wants to call, we're at 526-5825.
If I could just address, actually, Arturo's last question about issues. And, I'll just say there was certainly quite a few issues that happened yesterday around electioneering and stuff around like the 100-foot limit and signs. And I will say I heard from several folks at different locations and certainly had issues at the county building myself and was addressed personally by the county attorney on a blanket policy on signs. However, she could not point to the policy itself. As we talked about, there was, again, this is just how things are done, but there is nothing written, no resolution passed. So,
did she say what she's going to do next now that she's finished at the county?
She did not. No, she did not. Oh. But however, again, this is just another, clear instance where, for one candidate or one location, it's a different rule than a different place. And so that's just stuff that needs to be addressed.
I wanted to ask you, Daisy, because it's first time for you. Mm-hmm. How did it feel to be a candidate? I mean, did it? You're out there as an individual. Did it feel any different from when you're out there advocating solely on issues?
For sure, yes, it felt different. I mean, just thinking about so many. Well. Anyway, that I was operating as an individual. People wanted to know what I thought and, how I function. And I will say it's very similar to how I function and operated, right, as an advocate. There really wasn't too much difference. But it's certainly under a lot more scrutiny, I will say that. So I did feel that on a personal sense as well as on a professional sense. And if I could speak on this, there was some Islamophobia and xenophobia that happened at the doors and happened at some locations. And my campaign manager said someone came up to, she's the Muslim one and clearly is going to vote for the other candidate as a result. And so, that's definitely something I was expecting. and it happened. And as a candidate, of course, like as a candidate, that extra scrutiny. But I think the voters, you know, that wasn't clearly that wasn't enough of a concern. And so, you know, they think they really believe that, yeah, that that's just not an issue, right, for folks. So we'll see what happens in the next couple months, though.
We mentioned earlier the results in the Democratic primary. Juan, I know nothing about the Republican candidates for governor.
Tell us everything, Juan.
So, well, I can tell you who you vote for if you want to tell us. And
I supported Hall. Hall, Mr. Hall, Mayor Hall. I had an opportunity to meet with him, 15, 20 minutes, one-on-one, very personable, talked to me like I'm a real person, he didn't look at me like a politician.
Something wrong with him?
No, no. Actually, I like that kind of stuff. I appreciate that. I think he did a good job. I was a little disappointed with the numbers for Cunningham. I think Mr. Vasquez has got to go, personal opinion. I didn't like the turnout. But that's just the problem that I think, and I was just making some notes here, that the minority party in this state needs to step up. I hear so much about all the issues going on and so forth. I look at Holland. I look at her numbers. I mean, her numbers are astronomical compared to, you know, to Hull and some of the others. So until that gets resolved and we come to terms that the only way to make change is to actually get out there and vote, it's not going to happen.
You know, I obviously I have strong political opinions, and you know they differ from yours. But I also sort of sympathize with the idea of, you know, in principle, say the city commission or city council shouldn't be all one, you know, perspective.
Right.
But then I don't see a Republican very often that I can accept. And one key question that even the Republicans are more and more facing, how do you survive and flourish as a party when you have a Donald Trump at the head? And he so clearly heads the party that people throw out their own, like in Kentucky, throw out their longtime congressperson because he said so.
Well, that's rhetorical, I guess. When you say Trump said so, I don't think Trump said, okay, you will do it. Trump doesn't tell me what to do. I like a lot of his policies. I support a lot of his policies. I was probably a MAGA before there was such a thing as MAGA.
Yeah.
Okay? So this is nothing new to me as an individual. I think let's stay with the council for just a second. I think the council is leaning in towards more of a center direction. In 2022, when they had all the huge progressive elections there, I mean, it was like, holy smokes. I mean, it's like totally one-sided. I think it's become somewhat more moderate. Do I agree with everything they do? No. Do I agree with some? Yes. But to me, a lot of it is what's important to me, to those voters in Kentucky that threw that representative out. Obviously, those voters felt that gentleman was not doing a good job. Trump has influence? Of course he does. But does that really matter at the end of the day? I don't know. Personally, it doesn't matter to me.
Amanda, I was going to ask you, Arturo, I thought, brought up a good question with this being the first year of independents being able to have access to the primary. We all mentioned about what the impact of that might be. But I guess my question is, that seems to be one example of how we can make a small change to make our elections better. Mm-hmm. Are there other things that we could do structurally that would make our elections more fair, that would bring more people into the process?
Well, I think this brings up the idea of what some have floated, which would be the ranked choice voting, otherwise known as instant runoff. I really think it was mislabeled. I think if we called ranked choice voting instant runoff, it would be so much more people would be so much more open to it, especially when you see how Albuquerque had their elections and spent $1 million a month later. And they actually in that one had more turnout, which was amazing and doesn't happen. But that also in 2019 engaged more voters. We had 10 mayoral candidates. People were excited. That means those 10 candidates campaigned. They're different perspectives. We had a 19-year-old young Latino male, and we had all the gamut of people. And I think that is helpful. The more options voters have, the more motivated they are. You know, in terms of accessibility, we can have fair and accessible and secure elections. So, you know, early voting. We've done a lot of the things that I think are supposed to engage. But, you know, it's all the things. How do you do it? It's all the ways. You have podcasts and YouTubes. You go to the schools. You're embedded earlier in the schools. You know, we've now, there's no school on election day. You know, that's a motivator. There's all these things. But at the end of the day, I think there must be a fundamental paradigm shift for the average person to tune in. And I think we are at, and I've said this in my campaign, we are in a street fight for our democracy heading into the midterms. And I don't say that loosely, because I am concerned about, you know, the what is going on in our country as a whole, and some of the policies that have been in place that affect intimately people in my life. And I think that's often a motivating factor.
Can you talk about some of them? Let's start with mail-in voting. For people who think that mail-in voting isn't safe, what is your answer?
Mail-in voting is absolutely secure. I have voted by mail. The president has voted by mail-in, in fact. And what I would say is the checks and balances there are exceptional. We are always open to more, but I don't know where we could put more, because from the beginning to the end, we have a check and balance process that is secure and safe. And again, presiding judges are basically the supervisors of each voting location, and they're community members. They're not the politicians that are running for office and the clerks and the secretaries of state. So, you know, always keep that in mind.
Juan, do you trust mail-in voting?
I've mailed.
Okay, so you did.
I voted when I was
so overseas. You don't have a problem with that.
I don't have a problem, but is it perfect? No. Is there room for errors? Yes. Is there room for some devious person to do? Yes.
I'll ask you the same question. If you could make a change, what would you like to see different in the process?
In the voting process? Yeah. I would love to have the voter ID.
We do have voter ID in New Mexico.
I'm talking about the SAVE Act. I go up there, and I have my...
Well, wait a minute. If you're talking about the SAVE Act, that means that my driver's license wouldn't work.
I wouldn't be able to vote.
This is always what I want to do is dispel information. We do have voter ID in New Mexico. You cannot be on our voter rolls unless you have proven in an official form you are who you are. There's that. There's three ways you identify yourself at the polling location. And I think, Mr. Garcia, the criticism is the verbal affirmation of things only known to you. There's that. There's the government ID as well as your voter ID. Those are the three ways you can. And what I will say about that is you also have that magical thing where you sign under a fourth degree felony that is you. So this idea that undocumented folks are like behind, or these people who are not eligible or behind some kind of gate waiting to vote to commit a fourth degree felony is just not true.
So let me follow up to that. Then if that's the case, then why not have it?
Because
Asking. I used my dad, who's 96 years old, limited Spanish, blah, 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 as a bellwether, if you may. So I asked him, I said, Dad, do you have a problem with having a passport or something that verifies citizenship? He says, I have a passport. What's the problem? Okay? So
most poor people don't have a passport.
He's about as poor as they come.
That doesn't change the fact that most people don't have one.
You can have your birth certificate or other means of ID to verify that you're confirmed that you're a citizen. To me, that's the issue.
Getting my birth certificate from whatever hospital it was in Brooklyn. I mean, I did have it at one point. I don't have it anymore. And I'm an inactive lawyer. I'm an educated person, a journalist. And it would be a major pain for me to deal with. If I didn't have those resources and I were working real hard, making myself take the time to do that,
If I could just weigh in. So I always want to say, acknowledge, Mr. Garcia and I are functioning from the same perspective of wanting it to have a secure process and for people to show up and for it to be safe. That's already, we're starting in the same place. Where we differ is what I know just based on my nerddom of doing a lot of data collecting about disenfranchisement is I know that the people – you're fortunate. Your dad is fortunate. Honestly, he has probably you advocating for him. He was able to get that passport. I'm assuming with that, he's traveled to other countries, right? So there's...
No, not at all.
No.
He came to the U.S. in 1960.
So the passport wasn't to travel and have a good time?
Of course not.
Okay. No, well, no. And some people... Right. I wouldn't want to make any assumptions. Right. But he has a passport. My mom doesn't have a passport, right? What I know to be true is that there will be some, maybe not a lot, but there will be some folks, whether they're older, whether they're poor, whether they're rural, that are on the fringes that will not have access to an ID. But if they can verify in ways that have shown to be proven to be secure and verify it, then don't give me a problem. Don't give me a solution creating a problem. Show me where the evidence is of a systemic fix, and we should then address it. So that's my issue with voter ID is I always want to say we do have voter ID in New Mexico. It may not be what people want it to be in the strictest sense, but we have it.
So you favor the Save the Republicans Act.
I say that you need to verify that you are a citizen.
Let me ask you a related question. I'm appalled as somebody who kind of likes democracy. in any state, basically, the gerrymandering I think when we looked at the fact that Texas was going to create, five more congressional seats that would be Republican, they already had a situation where Democrats were something like 40% or 45%, I don't know, of the voters and had like... one-third of or one-quarter of the congressional representatives because of unfair voting. What do you think about that?
So
you think
people pick on Texas, fine? And I don't necessarily agree with everything, but look at New Mexico. Didn't we have a Secretary of State, Speaker of the House, Mr. Eagle, that one of his last acts before he left office was he was going to gerrymander one of the districts, mm-hmm. a couple of the districts here, and I don't remember the exact words, but it was something like there will never be another Republican elected, and this had to do with the Vasquez district. Okay, so when I hear this, Texas is doing this, California's doing it, New Mexico did it.
But we don't ever,
just that people don't care to make a big issue of it, but it happened, right?
Yeah.
Wrong is wrong.
Right. And I agree with you, in principle.
Can I tell you one of the things that was shocking to me is when there was, the redistricting was happening and the lines were being drawn and there was discussions. It was amazing to me as a new person in office that there was just an overt, absolute we can't do the line there because I won't get elected.
Right.
I was like, wait a minute, are they saying that out loud?
Yeah.
I was very surprised. I didn't know it worked that way. I didn't know. So it's one of those things that I've not been, has been disappointing to me as well, for sure, in this process and system. So.
Yeah. I mean, for people who don't remember, that there was an independent commission mm-hmm. that did put out independent maps mm-hmm. and that did get overruled by our Senator, Joseph Cervantes, who drew the map himself at the last minute, and it was gerrymandering. That's what happened.
So when we talk about how nasty Texas is or how nasty California is, hey, we did it ourselves here.
We have 3 minutes left.
Whoa!
And your phone's going off.
My sugar's going up.
What have you not said today that you particularly want to say in the last that'll take a half minute or so?
I want to make sure that people stop necessarily voting for their party and focus more on the issues. Okay, quite frankly, if you're a Democrat, independent, whatever, and you're doing something good and positive for the community, you should be elected. And the other thing that I hope candidates never forget, they represent all the citizens. Mm. So if Miss Daisy here gets elected tomorrow, I'm picking on you, and I come up to her and say, hey, you know what? I've got some concerns. I've seen your district, blah, 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 whatever. I don't want to talk to you. I don't talk to people like you.
I can't see Daisy doing that.
I'm not saying that you would. I'm using that as an example. Okay? But I've seen it happen, and it has happened here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to me, it's very troubling.
Daisy,
yeah, quickly.
What have you not told us that you want to tell us now?
first, I just wanted to say thank you, if that's okay to end on there. And just thanks to everyone who supported me in our grassroots efforts. And, you know, to answer Juan, I'll absolutely talk to everybody. Everybody's welcome to call me. And I definitely want to represent all the people in my district. Thank you.
Amanda.
I'll echo the thank you. I'll say I was a long shot. They said it couldn't happen, and here I am, poised to be the nominee in the Democratic ticket. And I just want to say, if I could write a love letter to Doñana County, I would. And I want to thank each and every one of you for all the text messages. I got a text message that said to me, I'm so proud to vote for a candidate that sounded like me, looked like me, and told my family story. And that resonated more than you know. So thank you, and have a great, great day.